Hello, Internet. My name's Jonathan Cook.
And I'm Matt Noble.
And on this week's Screen Verdict podcast, we're going to be not changing the channel, but changing the app. We're moving over to Hulu and a review of Pen 15. Matt, what have you been hearing about Pen 15? Because a lot of people told me, Jonathan, you've got to watch Pen 15.
I heard it was a show about some kids in high school, in seventh grade, and then at Gold Derby, a website I do a bit of work for, I was asked to interview the leads of the show, and I thought, okay, better find out more about this show.
Now, the show is quite interesting, I think, for you and me particularly, or at least people of our age, because I believe it's set in the year 2000, and they are 13 at the time, they're in 7th grade. Matt, were you in 7th grade in the year 2000?
Yes, I was.
Very cool. I was cool.
Very good. So
I was only in 6th grade, so I found this show entirely unrelatable.
Yeah, I can imagine. Yeah, I was in 7th grade. When I was interviewing the actresses, I did say, oh, I was in 7th grade in the year 2000 as well. And I think it was my, I was like, oh, nice. Oh.
They're like, oh, no, neither of us were. We just wrote the show that way.
They actually were, I think, though.
No, I'm sure they were, or at least one of them was. Are they exactly the same age?
Go to high school together. They were at different high schools. They met in college, I think. It's middle school in America. I guess we've got American listeners, probably millions of them. We've got hundreds of thousands of Australian listeners, probably. I'm just sort of working out sort of percentage of population in my head and just making a few assumptions. So just to explain it. So in Australia, you're in primary school from sort of kindergarten to year six, which I guess is sort of the equivalent of elementary school. Then from year 7 to 12, we sort of count that as high school. And some schools will break that down into sort of middle school years and senior school years within high school. Whereas in America, from what I understand, you've got the elementary till about sixth. Then middle school starts at 7th, and then high school starts at like 10th or something like that. Like,
yeah, it might vary. I think it's 6 to 8 or 7 to 9, okay, and 10 to 12, something like that.
Okay. They're in 7th grade. I think it's the first year of their middle school. In Australia, that'd be equivalent to your first year of high school. And so I think they met in college. But they both, I think, were born in 1987.
Yeah, my year. So quick Googling. They're both 87, which I guess would put them a year ahead of you. But then the American school year.
I was born in 87.
You were born in 87?
Yeah.
Crikey.
Well, you were in the year below me, so we would have been born in different years.
This is news to me.
Bombshell.
Podcast. Been sending you the wrong birthday cards for years. Just too polite to say anything. There you go. Yes. If we're doing just tidbits and trivia, the Australian school year runs on the calendar year. So January to December. You might have January off because of the holidays, but so February onwards, which makes total sense. People in America think that's wacky when I tell them that. I'm like, wow, who would have thought that a school year follows a calendar year? But in America, they want the summer break off. They want that to be the longest break. So their school year goes, you know, July to June, something like that. Mm. You know, give or take a month for holidays.
Yeah.
Absurdity. Anyway, this major plot holes in the show, as far as I'm concerned. They should have set it in Australia, where the school year makes sense.
Yes. I agree. So it's interesting. So it's a show we go, isn't this, I found this a bit interesting / depressing, this show, to think of like our year 7 is now like a period piece show. Like, I feel like short, like it sort of feels surreal that your sort of experience is now like some dated, like sort of they've had to call in a props department probably and things like that.
Yeah, so there are kids that won't understand any of these references. And if you were thinking, one day I'll turn my childhood into a story, nah, it's already been done. You missed your chance.
Should budding comedy writers and TV show writers, just like, especially the kids that are out there, your 7th graders, your 10th graders, even your elementary, primary school kids, should they just be keeping all their stuff, all their technology, all their, like, toys, all, like, a bit of furniture, so they can make their own, like, web series or TV show set in that year later on?
Totally. People are going to pick up an iPhone 10 and be like, whoa, so kitschy. It's not even implanted in your brain. You had to hold it in your hand like some kind of monkey.
Yeah. So, yeah, it's sort of surreal watching it. Makes you feel a bit old.
So one of the interesting things about the show is all the other kids in the show are actually 13. They got age-appropriate actors for all the other parts. But the two leads are played by 30-year-olds. And you think that that would be silly. And while you can tell, I found myself not thinking about it too much, because I think due to the styling, the makeup, the fact that Anna has braces and Maya has a retainer, just their hair clips and stuff, you kind of believe it. It sounds silly, but after a while you start to think that they're really 13.
Yeah, I think that's sort of it. I feel like the close-up shots, maybe it's a bit more obvious. But no, they fit in quite well, and obviously that's partly due to the costume and the makeup departments doing a great job, and just their performances, how they just throw themselves into those roles. When I first heard about this, maybe these creators / stars, but I heard it's about the 7th grade. Are they 7th grade? Like, how old are these guys? Then I looked it up and go, boy, they're super old. Like, not super old. They're obviously my age and, you know, millennials and all these sorts of things. But you're sort of like, oh, they're much older than 7th grade. Are all the, you know, and then I didn't realize I watched the series that, oh, all the others are actual 7th graders. And I think it sort of works and they sort of fit into it. But I do think it's also a bit weird when they get crushes on the guys at the school.
Yeah. It is super awkward. Like
30-year-old women with these, like, talking about, like, these 12-year-old boys and how cool they are. And even just, like, so there's awkward scenes when they get close with them and they're, like, they're dancing with them or, like, they've gotten each other in spin the bottle or whatever. But I think, like, the most hilarious and even just as awkward scenes are just, like, when they're looking at them from afar and they're sort of like, oh, boy, Jack's so cute or whatever. Then it just goes to this slow-mo cute, like, music while you see this, like, little kid. And it just shows how absurd these 7th grade romances are. Like, people, like, frothing over these, like, just kids.
Yeah.
You're like, this guy's the coolest guy. He looks like, like, I don't know, he looks just like an it.
Yeah, like, that's the sexiest guy, you know? Like, I could trip that kid over and there's nothing he could do about it. I think the fact that they are older and it kind of, obviously they can't be, like, intimate, they can't, you know, really kiss them or touch them, kind of leads to awkward scenes, but that kind of accurately reflects that age and time period and experience anyway. That kind of awkwardness, I think, actually translates into a sort of accurate and funny depiction of those moments.
Yeah. No, I think it's fair.
So I think, do you want to do spoilers or we can do non-spoilers. We can just talk about some of the general topics and types of things that they encounter, perhaps that are specific to the period without
revealing the outcomes. I think no spoilers for this one. It's a comedy show. I don't think it's like the plot's that important. I think we could talk broadly about some of the themes that the show goes into, like, and not be character specific maybe about those things. But
so they do go through a couple of, usually the episodes are based around an event or an experience that I'm sure the actual Anna and Maya went through in year seven. So there's one where they play with the Ouija board because Maya thinks her grandfather is watching her at all times when she might not want him to be. Did you ever do the Ouija board as a kid?
When I was worried my grandparents might be watching me.
Not that specific. No. I mean, if that was the case, then talk ahead. That's great podcast material. No. But just the Ouija board in general.
No, didn't get into the Ouija board. Growing up in, like, I grew up in a Christian family, and I still am Christian, so I sort of, like, was not big fans of the whole witchcraft, wizardry stuff, like, like, fantasy stuff was cool, fiction stuff was fine, but the Ouija board was seen as a bit of a, like, bit of a no-no, and that's fine. I'm not too keen on that sort of stuff still. I'm not, like, upset at my parents for not letting me Ouija board. It seems a bit stupid to me.
You've just been holding this, like, 20-year resentment. Like, one day you just go home and he's like, you never let me Ouija.
Yeah. Yeah.
No,
did
I didn't
you get into the Ouija
board? No, I didn't. I didn't myself. I think it's silly. I mean, I think everybody's in on the fact that it's silly. Maybe not. Maybe some people think
I don't think kids are they? Some kids get pretty into it, don't they?
Yeah, I don't know.
This is what I don't get about the Ouija board. Like, okay, so there's a spiritual world that, like, you know, wants to communicate to us. So the way they do that is, like, we get out a sheet of letters and a piece of paper with, like, a hole in it. And that's how they're communicating to us?
Yeah.
Like moving a holy bit of paper over some letters?
Yeah. The afterlife.
It's never like, do you think in the future, like, you will need to switch it to the QWERTY, like, alphabet layout? Like, I don't think the ghosts are going to know how to do the regular alphabet.
Yeah. How far behind are ghosts in technology? Like, are they going to catch up and one day our inbox is just going to be full of, like, messages from the nether realms?
Yeah.
But they'll all be in, like, you know, size 28 Comic Sans purple font on, like, pink background. Just, like, the worst. Just the worst spam emails ever. And you're like,
Is the Ouija board, like, done all over the world or just in, like, English-speaking countries?
I think,
like,
just in American TV and movies, to be honest. I don't know.
Okay.
Do we have any international listeners that can answer this question?
Do you have, like, the Japanese, like, doing the Ouija board? They're, like, 2,000 different characters, like...
Maybe.
Yeah. Anyway. Talking a lot more about the Ouija board than I was expecting in this podcast.
Let's see. One of the other things they do is they perform at a concert. There's a choir and a band. Did you ever have any awkward experiences or maybe successful experiences at any school shows?
I won the fifth grade, the primary school talent show in fifth grade.
Oh, flex on them.
Yeah, I did a puppet show.
I like it.
I brought up a bin that I'd put green fur fabric on and eyes, and I interviewed him, like, this is your life.
Like Clint Eastwood in a chair.
Oh, sorry?
Like Clint Eastwood in a chair.
And then we had another school talent show when I was in 11th grade where I – what did I do for that one? I did a bit of a – I wanted to – I called it the Matt Acula, okay, because my name's Matt. And I wanted to do as much as possible. So I did a few jokes, grilled the principal and the school captain.
Skewered the system.
Yeah, the music department, that they were getting all the money and stuff. Like, you know, I did some good.
No one was safe.
And I did, I sang. And then, like, because that was the first year of Arrested Development, but no one really watched it yet in Australia. So I, like, sang the final countdown and I wore a dressing gown and I did Job's magic trick with the Queen of Diamonds, where I had it painted on my stomach, and I just got some like little kid up to pick the card, and I like I just thought, okay, the trick is there's a 1 in 52 chance that I like just blow the school off, like just, like completely, like, and. The kid picks the King of Diamonds. Oh, it was so close. And then what did I do? And then I got out the, like, bandanas like Job does with his – so that was very well received, but I did not win that one. I actually got an issue with the way the voting was done. It was text in your votes, but I had – but you could vote at any point during the show. And I was, like, one of the last acts. So I think a lot of people had already texted in their winner before I got to perform.
Rigged.
Yeah. Feedback was given by me after the...
In the form of more jokes at the next year's talent show.
Did you do any talent show things in school?
No, I wasn't much of a performer in school. I liked sports, but I never did choir or musicals or dramas or any of those sorts of things. The only things I did sort of enjoy was when I had to do speeches or oral presentations in class. Oh, yeah. I sometimes tried to make them entertaining. Like we had to talk about, we had to analyze advertisements or something. And so I brought in a Rocky poster and I pretended that it was on the street and I was just walking down the road and I was singing the Rocky theme song to myself. And then I noticed the poster and I was like, hey, that's a cool poster. How about I analyze it using some English techniques I learned at like middle school or some, and I just pretended to be talking to some random street people about, this Rocky poster. So, I think I got a B. I got a B. all right. Let's see. What other classic middle school experiences do we go through in Pen 15?
They had a group project that they had to do where they did a Spice Girls song or whatever video, but they made one of the girls, Maya, like be this super racist character.
Yeah, she couldn't be one of the Spice Girls because she was Asian, so they were like, oh, but you can be our assistant, and because you're Asian, that's kind of similar to a Mexican, and you can be this stereotypical Mexican character. And it was sort of like an interesting look at sort of commenting on these sort of stereotypes and attitudes, and I think part of it was at the time, due to the, you know, it was 19 years ago and things have changed a bit since then, but also just how kids are. Part of it is because kids are naturally mean, and part of it is because kids are kind of ignorant. They don't really know better. So I thought it was kind of like an interesting take on that, both on sort of the bad kids' behavior and then also then how Maya reacts to that. Like, she doesn't even seem to realize what's going on at first, or at least kind of hides it.
Yeah. Did you do any sort of school assignments that may not have dated particularly well?
You know, at the time, I got an A+, but looking back on it now, I will never be able to run for president.
Yeah, what was it? Sorry, I missed that.
No, there was not anything like that that I can recall.
I've got one. We had this English assessment on a book called Chinese Cinderella. And it's about a girl. Did you read that one? It's about a girl from China who had parents that weren't very loving or caring, pretty absent parents, and she went to private school and things like that. Anyway, I was, I don't know, the killer favorite duck or something. Anyway, the story Chinese Cinderella, we had a list of things we had to do, write an essay, do a thing. And one of the options we could do was record an audio interview. So on an audio cassette tape, I did an interview where I played myself, Matt Noble, the interviewer, and the author of Chinese Cinderella, a middle-aged Asian woman. with the voice and everything, and I like also really gave her a grilling. Like, you know, like there's a lot of questions in there. I'm like, okay, like you complain a lot in the book, but was life really as bad as you make it out? Like, I really come in as a hard-hitting reporter, questioning her experiences and sort of going, you did get to go to private school. Like, a lot of kids don't get to go, like, and I can't, I've still got the audio cassette somewhere of that. The class thought it was hilarious. I can't imagine how racist that would sound today.
Yeah, in retrospect, you might want to destroy those tapes after I get to listen to them.
Yeah, we won't. Unfortunately, this will not be a special feature on the podcast. Yeah.
Might be a paid extra.
Yeah.
Very good. All right. This could be good to delve into our own problematic pasts. Yeah. Let's see. An episode I enjoyed was AIM, where they get on Instant Messenger.
Yes.
And they talk to the other people in school, and then they go into chat rooms. Matt, what was your year 7 Instant Messenger username?
Well, this is what, I didn't actually have Instant Messenger. I was one of the few guys in the year. I wasn't as computer savvy as everyone else, and like
the grid.
Surprise! Yeah. Jokes on them now. How many of them have a podcast?
Less than half, I would imagine.
Yeah. But I didn't actually get any Instant Messenger, so I think I'd like sometimes, a bit like in the movie, I'd go to like a friend's house and sometimes join Instant Messenger with them, but I didn't actually have my own username.
Fair enough. Well, I did have Instant Messenger, and I think it will come as no surprise that my username was freestyle_rapper_313.
Is that legit?
That is dead set. That is a true story.
I love it.
And not only did I not know...
How much rapping did you do in 7th grade?
Well, that's the thing. I didn't know that much rap. I listened to a little bit, you know, what was popular at the time. Could not rap myself at all. But I on Instant Messenger, I would try and type freestyles.
Oh.
Which is a lot easier than saying things out loud because you can rap very quickly. But typing, especially when you're 12 years old, it's like, yo, I walk into the room enter, and the whole crowd goes boom. It's like, yeah, killed it. What out? Freestyle rapper 313.
Did you get some good feedback from these? Well, I, you know, because it sounds pretty lame you talking about it now, but did it seem cool to the other 13-year-olds that were on it?
Oh, the chat rooms loved it.
Yeah, okay. So they're like, this guy's cool. Did you how many interactions with, like, you know, we got Maya in it, like, falls in love with someone that she meets in the chat room. Did you have any messenger romances as freestyle rapper?
No, I think I was too scared. I think there were, like, too many warnings. Like, I think at that time, the sort of general PSA messaging was, everyone on the internet is trying to murder you. So I did not share any personal information, never really developed any romances, just went into random chat rooms, skewered the topical people of the time, Bin Laden, roasted him with my rhymes, and people
you're
loved
like,
it.
You're like, Bin Laden, take that for 9/11.
Yeah. Ladies and gentlemen, we got him.
Yeah. We got him with a bird.
Very good. All right. Well, that was a fun. I did enjoy that episode.
Yeah, that was, I think, in some ways my favorite episode just because of, you know, streamlined quite well.
We also
have as Maya's dad, an old favorite, Al from Home Improvement.
Yeah. The traveling drummer.
Yeah. He's quite, I think he's quite an authentic actor, to be honest.
Yeah, I liked him. I thought the parents and their storylines were quite realistic, quite believable. Cool. Yeah, I don't want to spoil too much with that, but yeah, I like those characters. Just trying to think of anything else. There is an episode where they all get together to watch an R-rated movie. Matt, do you remember the first R-rated movie you watched?
Look, I think, like, I wasn't allowed to go see a lot of these R-rated movies, and I was actually, like, before I was the bad boy of the Scream Verdict podcast, I was a pretty, like, well-behaved young white lad in school. So to be fair, I wasn't often sneaking off to movies and stuff. But I did sort of with the Emmys and TVs, so I get quite into TV. So I think in about eighth grade, I started watching Curb Your Enthusiasm, which at that time was like some quite adult, like a lot of coarse language and stuff like that.
Yeah, I don't know if I recall watching like a sexy R-rated movie, like Wild Things, like they do in the show. But I do remember the rating system in Australia is a little bit different. I remember the first M-rated movie that I watched was at a sleepover at my friend Tom's house. I think I was 10 or 11, and I wasn't allowed to watch M-rated movies. And we watched Speed.
Well,
2.
I love, one of my favorite Simpsons lines is when the bus is just speeding along and Milhouse goes, but it's like we're in Speed 2, but on a bus.
which I would relate to greatly because I've only seen Speed 2. And I thought that was great. Yeah. So a little bit different, but it was sort of reminiscent of like, you're getting away with something. It's like, we're not supposed to do this, but we're doing it anyway.
Yeah, maybe my first M movie was Titanic.
Titanic, good movie. Very long. That's when you're that age, it lasts like, you know, a quarter of your entire lifetime. That was a real commitment.
I didn't like it.
Was your main problem with it the length?
Probably, and also just like, I don't think I like really cared that much about Rose and Jack. I'm like, And I was like, at the end, and I know a lot of people make this complaint, this isn't an original, this isn't a particularly hot take, but I was a bit like, I feel like he could have got on the thing, like, you know, in dying seemed a bit of a, like, cop-out.
Surely that's a Mythbusters episode, right? Well, whether that piece of wood could have supported two people.
Yeah, I think what annoyed me the most about Titanic was that she threw the, like, expensive necklace in the ocean at the end of it. I'm like, why would you do that? Sorry, Titanic spoiler.
we'll have to we'll edit in a spoiler alert before that. Let's see. Was there anything else that you wanted to mention, any storylines in the show or just any tidbits that you enjoyed or didn't enjoy in Pen 15?
No, not really. I guess the thing I couldn't relate to as much because, actually both of our schools, we didn't have girls until the 10th grade. So there weren't really, like, that was the part of the show I didn't have the crushes at school.
Yeah. I don't think that's the case for many schools where it's single sex up to a certain point and then both sexes for different grades. I think our two schools, different schools, happen to be like two of like some of the only schools that do that.
Yeah, and actually both of our old high schools are now fully co-ed. So they have girls all the way through now.
They've changed. So this is not really addressed in the show, but I just want to see if this was, if you agree with this. So 7, 8, 9, all boys. 10, 11, 12, boys and girls. Did you think that made year 10 just absolute mayhem?
The first term was quite interesting.
Friendships shattered. Group dynamics shot to hell.
I sort of rose above it.
were you above it or just to the side of it?
Probably to the side of it.
Me too.
To be honest, I was like quite nervous because you sort of like one just change, just like okay, it's sort of like not to compare the female gender with like zombies or something, but it's like all of a sudden, like, okay, there's this new entity we have to deal with. We're in a new world now, and so just the uncertainty. And so I probably was a bit more to myself, like just hang out with my guy friends for that first term, didn't talk to too many of the girls, probably was a bit nervous and stuff like that. It was good, like once you got to classes, it was sort of okay. Because then you sort of sudden, like sitting next to them, you sort of like then start talking with them and stuff. Like I think they did a few, like, you know, our first classes for the first week, it's like sit around with, and we'll, you know, with a couple of people and talk about your name and yourself and things like that. So, sort of awkward, sort of nervous. But, you know, by the end of that first year, started, you know, we were friends and, you know, some of my good friends from school now are girls. So that's nice. How did you find it?
Yeah, it's pretty crazy because up until then, girls were just people you talked about and you came up with theories on and you hypothesized about, but unless maybe you saw them at the train station, public transport was really your only opportunity to engage with members of the opposite sex. Other than that, it was nothing. It was all speculation. And then year 10.
Well, you could go to a church youth group.
True.
Where, that's big. The church youth groups really need to tap into the single sex schools. I think it's a good Then you get to, but then you often get to the church youth groups, and then they go, okay, all the girls over there, all the guys over there, like they're sort of not leaning into their like strength,
like the youth groups are just handing out flyers, like advertising like for the strip clubs. They're just going around to like single schools. It's like, hey guys, want to check out youth group? We've got girls. You won't be able to talk to them or interact with them because we separate you and you do activities separately, but they'll be there. They'll be in the same location as you. How does that sound?
You'll be able to see them and have the have 10 minutes of awkward small talk before we split you up.
Yeah, it was crazy. And it was, I was young for my year as well. So at the start of year 10, I believe I was 14 still. Yeah.
Okay, yeah, you were a bit young for your year, yeah.
So I was still 14. And so some of my best friends who were 15, you know, wanted to start going to, like, parties and, like, drinking and smoking because, like, girls will be there. And I'm like, what happened to Tony Hawk Pro Skater 2? You were going to come over. We were going to play PlayStation. We were going to play Tony Hawk together. Now you want to go to these parties? For some reason, I thought I was Seinfeld.
Yeah. Yeah.
So, anyway, complete disaster. But, yeah, we did have – so in the show there is a big dance, and we had a dance in year 9, I think. It wasn't year 7, but it was year 9 before the girls came to the school with another girls' school. I think it was Abbotsley. And so they were like, all right, we're an all-boys school. They're an all-girls school. We're going to organize a dance with the two. And it was very...
Do you reckon the teachers were like, and if the Abbotsley girls like this dance enough, maybe some of them will switch over to our school?
Yeah, it was a total, like, marketing scam.
Yeah.
Trying to steal like, students.
Guys, we get these girls. If you impress the girls enough, we've got more enrollments.
And it was very regulated. It was very regimented. Australia, a nanny state, telling us what to do. We would form two circles, an inner circle and an outer circle. One would face in, one would face out, and you would be in front of someone, and you would dance for a particular period of time with that person, say 30 seconds, and then you would all move one to the left. And then you dance with that person for 30 seconds, and then you'd all move one to the left.
Oh, my gosh. I saw West Side Story at the Sydney Opera House, like, a month ago, and they had that game in that musical. Just how Tony and Maria meet.
Some big West Side Story fans at Barker and or Abbotsley, I guess.
Yeah. And that's set in, like, the 60s or something. Like,
it's a time-tested and proven method for getting awkward teens to dance with each other. So, good times, I guess, probably.
By the way, Jonathan, I know you're a very busy man. You got places to be. You just land this plane whenever you want, okay? Just, like, balls in your court.
Okay. So we did talk a bit more about us than the show, but we were trying to do a non-spoiler podcast because the show is still relatively new. And, you know, are people tuning in for Pen 15 or are they tuning in for Screen Verdict?
Like, what do you mean? Sorry? What are they more interested in? Cause I feel like they're probably a little bit more about you and me in this podcast than they have about the show Pen 15.
Oh, definitely. That's what I'm saying. Is the audience listening to this podcast going to say, like, hey, I tuned in for Pen 15, and these jabronis just talked about themselves for 30 minutes? Or do you think they're like, oh, I don't really care about the show. I just love Matt and Jonathan.
I don't know. Let us know.
Let us know. Facebook.com/Screen Verdict Podcast. Did we talk about ourselves too much? Yeah, feel free to hit us with those jabs like Matt at a school talent night. Go for the jugular.
Yeah, I think, I don't tire quickly of talking about us. So, like, for me, it was a good amount of talking about us. But I'm humble enough to acknowledge that other people may have a different perspective.
Yeah, you're not saying that other people should like it more. You're just saying, I like it.
Yes.
It works for me. Well, let's see if Pen 15 worked for us. Matt, do you want to give the show a verdict?
I thought bits of it worked really well. I liked how they tapped into what it feels like to be in seventh grade, even though the school they went to, in terms of country, in terms of genders, in terms of private versus public, is very different. I think a lot of the feelings were similar. It's primarily from the perspective of two females. I'm a male, but I still could relate to a lot of their experiences and feelings, even though it was quite different. And I really liked that. I thought the dynamics with the kid actors and these two actresses worked really well. They were mostly laughed and things like that. I think not everything worked, though. And I think there were episodes that I wasn't finding particularly funny, things that maybe were repeated a bit too much or dragged on a bit. Not my favorite show, but I really like what they did, and I really like that it was different from other shows that I watch. I think it is something that it brings to the television landscape that other shows aren't bringing. So I'll give it a 7 out of 10.
7 out of 10. All right, to Pen 15. I think in terms of achieving what it sets out to do, and by that I mean making a show about seventh grade in the year 2000, it completely nails it. Everything about this feels like seventh grade, feels like the year 2000, from the aesthetic to the lingo to the music to the style, just to the experiences, the moments, the relationships. I feel like they nailed everything about it. Like, in terms of capturing the setting, 5 out of 5. Well done. In terms of characters, I think Maya and Anna are very relatable. I think they're really engaging. You root for them, even though they can be very, awkward or silly or emotional. You really get on board with them. Really want to follow their stories. In terms of the sort of progression of the season, they're kind of isolated episodes, and I like that for the most part, the different things they capture. I'm not sure how long you can do that without having sort of perhaps more longer-running story arcs, because I think you'll run out of individual episodes, but they had enough to tie them all together and keep them moving that I thought worked that well. Initially, I didn't think it was laugh-out-loud funny, but the more episodes I watched, the more I enjoyed it. I think it really found itself and hit some really, really high points and just got funnier and funnier. And there's only one episode that I didn't like towards the end, but they pulled it back, I think, with a good last episode. So overall, really funny, really entertaining, really unique show. I enjoyed it a lot. I'm going to give it an 8 out of 10.
Nice.
Yeah.
Cool.
All right, so there you go. That's Pen 15. If you've seen it, let us know what you thought. Facebook.com/ScreenVerdictPodcast. And let us know if there's anything you'd like to talk about.
Just wait. The Pen 15 is penis. if you didn't know what the meaning was. It's like capital PEN15 looks like the word penis. And there's a high school prank where people say, "You in the Pen 15 club?" And you go, "No, no, no. Well, do you want to be in it?" "Yes, yes, I'm desperate. Yeah, put me in this club. I don't want to miss out." And then they write Pen 15 on your hand or forehead, and then you've got penis written on you.
Yeah, almost as good as getting people to type, 58,008 on their calculator, and then you turn it upside down and it says boobs.
Yeah, we did that a lot in high school. I don't think the Pen 15 club was something I'd heard of it, but it's not really something that was big at school when I was there.
Yeah. Well, we know you guys know what it meant, but we just had to bring it up just so you know that we know.
Yes.
What the Pen 15 club means.
Sorry, Jonathan. You were closing us out.
No worries. Yeah. So that's Pen 15. If there's any shows or movies coming out or that have already come out that you'd like us to preview or review, let us know. Facebook.com/Screen Verdict Podcast.
And I think we've got to do Endgame.
Oh, yeah. Avengers Endgame, for sure. So, yeah, that. Anything else? Let us know. And thanks for listening. And we'll see you next week.
Okay, bye.